everybody, welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. Today I am joined by comedian Mark Norman. How's it going, Mark?
Hey, sorry. It's a little windy, I'm a little gay, and I'm a little hungover, but I'm here.
Sounds like you're having a good time in the midst of all this extra free time we're all getting.
Trying to make the most of it. It's a bummer. It's basically like the movie Groundhog Day, except we have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That would be my first question. How are you spending your time? And I'm sure that when comedy clubs open back up, I'm sure there's a lot of material that you'll have. I'm sure you're probably writing.
I'm writing, but it's all corona material. So I'm trying to, I can't even think about anything else. It's just, you know, it engulfs the whole noggin, this virus. So I don't know when we get back to clubs, are people going to want to hear corona stuff, or are they going to want to be done with it, you know? So
that's true.
Get back to my act.
You know, actually, Mark, I've been doing stand-up for about a year and a half now as well myself, and yeah, I've entered the dangerous world of comedy. And so,
good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I know. Seeing people like you on TV has inspired me to do it.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, I think a lot of people are getting into it. Comedy's big right now, baby, because it's so accessible. You got the YouTubes and the podcasts and the Netflixes. So everybody's like, hey, why don't I do that? Comedy used to be pretty a weird gig, you know? It was like becoming an ice skater or ballet dancer or, you know, a juggler.
I know, yeah. I mean, this is like the second big boom of comedy that we've seen.
Oh yeah, and the booms have their ups and downs, baby. You know, you got your weirdos doing it who don't really are passionate about it, and you got some people who have never gotten into it without the boom, and they're great. So, some pros and cons of the boom.
Absolutely. Is there any advice you can give me for a guy who's been doing it for about a year and a half?
There is a lot of advice, but you're not going to like any of it. And every time a new comic asks me for advice and I tell them, they seem disappointed. So,
All right. I'll take it.
All right, but I need a decent reaction from you. Just, you know, thank you, I got it. Because otherwise, I just get like a frowny face and I'm like, well, yeah, you asked.
I promise to give you a decent reaction. Yes, sir.
All right. Here it is. And this is it. Once and for all you queeps out there starting comedy, don't have to have coffee with me because that ain't going to help either.
Can I have coffee with you? Not?
Say that again? Yeah, you're cracking up a little bit.
I said, can I have coffee with you?
No coffee. No need to charge the coffee. All that travel time and this time it's all a waste. I can answer this question in one email, and that is write every single day for at least 1 hour. Go up. Oh, also do the jokes in your apartment. Run them. Say them into a fucking wooden spoon or a hairbrush. Say it till you got it down so you don't have the jarbles and the googles up there, and you don't want to have to memorize it on stage, because then you can't be funny. You're just trying to regurgitate it, and it takes away from the comedy of it, the delivery. So work it out in your apartment or wherever the hell you do it. Then record your sets every time you go on stage, which should be at least once a night, at least if you can do it, if you live in a decent city with a scene. Then record it, listen to it, tweak it, see what got a laugh, what didn't, if you believe in it, tweak it and keep trying it. If you don't believe in it, throw it out immediately. I see a lot of young comics, and I did it too. They just go up and do the same shithole set 800 times to the same reaction. And I go, well, what do you think? You got one lap on this 88, and you're holding on to it. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
And everything that works, just keep it. And what doesn't work, get rid of it or change it. And that's it. That's the whole game, folks. That is it.
You're right. Maybe no need for coffee on that one.
I did some Gotham Comedy Club did some weird seminar thing where they're like, can you come in and talk to young comics? And I did it, and it was a big bummer. I mean, it was like 30 kids, and it was just hands went up like, how do I get an agent? How do I get a manager? And I go, well, are you funny? And they go, I think so. And I go, how's your act? And they go, I don't know, I've just started.
Oh.
Why would anybody want to manage you if you're not funny?
Oh.
People forget that funny is number one. I know now it helps to be a half-blind trans person in a wheelchair, but funny should be numero uno. It's not that difficult. It's all very simple.
I just to go along with your point there on what you're saying, I mean, Steve Martin has this master class. I think you're familiar with master class that's teaching these comics, and it seems like that he gets the same question like you. I mean, how do you get an agent? How do you do this, do that? And Steve Martin's just sitting there thinking, shouldn't the first thing be that, how do I get good at this before I ever think about an agent or a manager or anything like that? So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Good at comedy is hard. It's painful. It's humiliating, and nobody wants that part. You know, they just want the good flavor. They don't want to actually cook the food. They want to just wolf down a pound cake. And that's just human wiring. I get it. It's human nature. But
yeah,
it's hell. It's like going to the gym. It's like saying, well, if I go to the gym, How do I win the you know, Mr. Universe? You're like, well, you got to go to the gym. You got to just keep going until you get muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I want to win the prize. Like, yeah, yeah, we'll go to the gym for 20 years and take steroids and, you know, okay.
There you go. There you go. So, Mark, you had a really cool experience that I think that most comics, speaking of the prize, I mean, you had a big name comic last year check you out, and you guys were at the same show, and I won't say who it was. I'll let you do that, but you guys were at the same show, I think it was.
Oh, you're talking about Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, yes, sir.
Yeah, it was pretty mind-blowing. I did a Tonight Show. He happened to see it, thank God. You know, people always say, hey, these late nights, what's the point? They don't do anything. Well, apparently they do if old Mr. Seinfeld's watching them. So he saw me on the late night. I had a good set. By the way, it's got no views online. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about a late night set. But hey, I'm glad I did it. And yeah, he just said he saw it. Then he saw me at Gotham. He pumped me, which is pretty standard. And I had a good set there, and it was a clean set because I happened to be, it was like a Merrill Lynch corporate gig or something like that, so I had to be clean, which also worked out. So all the stars aligned. He watched my set. I had four sets that night. That was the first one. I skipped all the other ones because he said, let's go hang out. And we ended up chatting for like an hour and a half.
Wow.
And I got his number. The whole thing's bananas. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. That's unbelievable. I mean, that's like every comic's dream to have someone like that. Well, maybe specifically Seinfeld check you out and say, hey, you're good.
I know. I just think about the shower now. I mean, just when I'm having a rough day, I think about that shout out on this game, and it keeps me going. I mean, it's just like that. Like all those nights of literally running from set to set, jumping on a train, jumping in the cab to do 5 minutes and bomb at some club and, you know, the Upper West Side, and then just think about it, all paid off. Just, you know, I make no money from that. I did a gig in Buffalo. I had eight people there. I got the Seinfeld shout out. I go, well, tomorrow we sold out after that. What better, you know, what's the word? What do you call that? Not a recommendation. What's the word for when somebody validates you? Shit. What the hell am I talking about? What do you call that?
I know. I'm trying to think of it myself. I'm trying to think of that word. Nothing's come to mind. Yeah.
Well, when you get that shout out, I'm like, well, we sold out tomorrow. And then it was nine people. So, that's comedy, folks.
So you got one extra person.
Yeah.
So are you and Jerry going to do a show together, or has he brought you with him on a show at all, or anything like that?
Yeah, he had me open for him for four gigs at the Beacon Theater. It was pretty epic, I could use that word, but it was pretty wild, you know, just being in the green room with him and watching him hang his coat up and talking about writing jokes and talking about the the comedy scene and the whole thing, and just laughing, and he's a
nice
guy. It's pretty crazy. He's just a Long Island dude who likes cars, baseball, and comedy.
That's one thing that I was going to ask you. Is he the exact same way as we see him on TV or film? Or is he kind of like a little laid-back kind of guy that kind of lets his guard down when he's not performing?
He's the same guy you see now on the internet. Like, I don't want to hug Kesha. That's more him than... obviously. But yeah, he's just like, you know, I don't care. He doesn't care about anything. People go, what do you know about this? He's like, I don't know. I don't care. I don't think about it. He's just a dude who cares about comedy and baseball, and he's a big political. He likes watching politics, but
he's
a normal dude who doesn't want to do anything. That's the thing people think. People think celebrities want to do stuff. Like, hey, you want to come down to this benefit and talk about this? He's like, why would I want to do that? That sounds awful. So that's him.
That does sound about right. So what we see of him is actually, because I've talked to my family about what is really Jerry like, and so my kind of perceptions of like what you were talking about is kind of the what I thought that he was for the longest time then.
Yeah, that guy. He's like, well, I don't want to do that. I want to sit on the couch and eat. I don't want to do things.
So, Mark, I have to ask you, as you're performing comedy, and I don't know if this is something that you run into, but do you have to deal with a lot of the PC stuff wherever you go? Or maybe not wherever you go, but I mean maybe some places that you go to?
Yeah. I bitch about PC a lot, which I know a lot of comics get annoyed by, which I don't get. You know, all these comics get mad, like, oh, I'm more PC, it's so hack. I'm like, well, so are Trump jokes. Well, you do 20 minutes of those. Like, what's the difference? How come you can do your hack thing and I can't do my hack thing? But either way, so the PC thing I bitch about, but it's really nothing. I mean, I just do the jokes anyway. My only problem with the PC thing is the phony, what do you call that? Like where you pretend to give a shit, like the moral,
ground,
like you're on your soapbox. Like, how dare you make a joke about gay people? I'm like, well, they're human beings. I'm a human being. I'm just going to make it. They exist. So I'm going to make a joke about them. Yeah, but it's punching down. Says who? I don't think they're below me.
I know. I mean, do you find it interesting how Ari Schaefer got bumped for making a Kobe Bryant joke? Now he's not into comedy clubs. They're not inviting him to do comedy because of that one Kobe joke.
No, I mean, I'm not shocked at all. The Kobe thing was very strange because he makes jokes about people dying all the time, but for some reason they pick that guy to be this messiah that you know, he's untouchable. You can't make a joke about Kobe. He just died. Which, I guess that's true, but it's his joke. He can do whatever he wants with it, and you can not like it, and that's it. Like, he's fine. His numbers went way up. The Netflix special actually got better numbers after the Kobe.
Absolutely.
You know, they made up all this shit. They made up this thing about how his agent fired him, which is not true. So the whole thing's wacky, and we need problems to talk about. We need something to Twitter about. So I think at the end of the day, we all bitch and moan about PC, but just do the hell, do whatever jokes you want. If you get some backlash, just brush it off and do it again. I mean, we're all going to die one day. You know, we're just a blip in the universe for 89 years, then we die, and then nobody thinks about it. Nobody's going to be talking about that Kobe joke in 10 minutes.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I agree with you. That's something that I will sometimes run into myself, and it drives me nuts that there's some stuff that people cannot take as a joke, apparently. We are so sensitive as a people in a country that we cannot make fun of certain things, apparently.
Yeah, very strange, and that's okay. That's always been here. You know, we've always, Dave Chappelle, when his show came out, the Chappelle Show, he talked about how he'd get bags and bags of hate mail. Seth MacFarlane saw hate mail for his jokes, and he's like, yeah, I don't know, some people don't like it, and then you do it again, they don't like it, you do it again, you just ignore them. I mean, just ignore them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Power.
Yeah, you're not going to see that person or people again after that night anyways, so that's true.
Yeah, and also, isn't it weird that Like, I even have friends who get behind all this shit where, like, you know, like, in this 50s when Elvis was on stage shaking his butt around.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, can you believe this? This is sacrilegious and immoral and all this shit. And, like, now you want to be that guy? You want to be that nerd who's just like, how dare you, and grabbing your pearls and all this shit? Like, what are you doing? This is what you're putting your energy into? Get the fuck over it. Go hug your kids. Get a hobby.
Yeah, it kind of,
you're not saving the world here.
It kind of shows you how pathetic their lives are as well. That they actually have time to care about something like this. That's all they're thinking about. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like I think we're just kind of out of problems, you know. And we actually have real problems, but those problems take a little effort and actual, you know, a little rolling up your sleeves and doing something. You know, like, oh, Flint needs water. All right, well, let's help him get water. But that's actually going to require some movement instead of just a click on a keyboard.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I'll say this last thing, and then I'll move on. I mean, basically, also what people say behind a computer screen, they won't ever say to like a performer's face or anything like that.
Usually not. Hey, I'm guilty of it too. I've said crazy shit about Trump or whoever that, you know, like, about Trump. I'd be like, oh wow, we should get a photo.
I know. Yeah. So moving on here. So I love your interviews that you've done with Joe Rogan, and I know that he keeps you there for like 2 or 3 hours at a time. And is it kind of hard sometimes to just know that as you're going and interviewing with Joe Rogan that you're going to be there for a few hours? I mean, does part of you sometimes wish that, okay, let's get a move on here?
Nah, not for me. I mean, I find him fascinating, and just to empire he's built is so interesting that the more time I can get with him, the better. I mean, to me, he's like a Larry King of our time. He's got all the best people on, and he's actually a genuine guy who gives a fuck and is interested and has questions. And it's not like a late night talk show host who's just like playing ping pong with a celebrity or charades or something. Like, let's actually get somewhere, have a real conversation. And then the idea that like millions of people are listening is scary and exciting and intriguing. So the longer I can get on, the better. The only real worry is the more time you spend on that microphone with him, the more time you have to be honest, and then you can get really in trouble.
Yeah, I know. He's kind of like a mixture of Howard Stern and Larry King, per se.
Yeah, there you go. I'll give you that.
Yeah, absolutely. So is that studio that he has, is that inside of his house?
No, he's got this, it's pretty crazy. I don't want to say too much because I don't know what the security rules are, but it's like a warehouse in the middle of L.A., and it's mirrored. And you're like, is this, I think there's a for lease sign on it. And you're like, is this it? Is this the address? What the fuck is this? I was looking, I had my face up with my hands cupped around the glass, like, well, what's going on in there? And it's all mirrored, you can't see anything. And then a hatch opens up. And this Navy SEAL with a beard goes, can I help you? And you go, holy shit, sorry, I'm looking for Rogan. He goes, yeah, come on in.
What?
And there's a bunch of security guys there, and it's a giant warehouse with a boxing ring and weights and cool artwork and podcasts and Ferraris and Porsches. I mean, it's like every dude's, you know, cliche dream.
Wow. That's incredible. That is. I mean, So any idea, or has he asked you to come back on at all recently?
Well, I mean, no one's asked me to do anything except you because of this whole epidemic. But I'd like to get back on eventually. He had me on twice in 4 months or something like that, so it was pretty crazy.
I know.
We had a good interview, so. Yeah, if I go to L.A., I'll try to get back on. You don't want to blow your wad too much. You want to spread them out. But no, it's a thrill to be on it because I feel like, you know, in 50 years when he's in a wheelchair and we're all shitting ourselves, I think that show is going to be really influential and really be on the map.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you 100%. I mean, everybody I talk to who watches his show cannot seem to get enough of it for that very reason. And he really knows his stuff, too. I'll tell you that. He really knows his stuff. I mean, he really knows what he's talking about.
I know, and people really he gets a bad rap, you know, like he's voting for Bernie and everybody's like, can you believe this meathead and da da da? You're like, I don't know, he's a nice guy. I think he's a nicer guy than like Wendy Williams. She seemed stupid and terrifying and weird and talentless. I don't know, at least he can do things. He's passionate about stuff. He's talented. He's a comic. He's a UFC guy. He's a drug addict. It's interesting. He's like a Renaissance man. I think if he wasn't bald, white, and muscular, I think people would take him more seriously, ironically.
that's kind of me, but not really. But anyways, is there any projects that you're working on currently right now, Mark? I know that right now times are slow, but I mean, is there any projects for you in the development that I can give you a plug on?
Always developing something, but writing jokes. I got a new special coming out in about a week or two on YouTube. Hopefully with Comedy Central.
Congratulations.
And, thanks. It's being edited as we speak and color corrected and the whole thing. And check out my podcast, Tuesdays with Stories. Comes out every Tuesday, once a week with Joe List. It's a doozy.
Joe List. So we will be on the lookout for that. Mark, thank you so much for coming on, and come back anytime. I'd love to have you come back on.
Hey, thanks for having me. And again, sorry about the scheduling snafu. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what race I am. I don't know what gender I am. I'm all over the gamble here.
Well, I hope that you do come to Kansas City with your comedy. I'm there if you come.
All right, I appreciate it. It was on the books, but again, this whole snafu really.
Yeah, I know. This is messed up everything. I know. Yeah. So, but anyways, Mark, thank you so much, sir.
Hey, thank you, man. Take it easy.
You too, buddy. You too, buddy. Bye bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. And for more information on this podcast and other episodes, please follow us at The Great Scott Podcast on Facebook. Once again, that's the Facebook group, The Great Scott Podcast. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.